Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I wanted to say that last week that the Holy Spirit and Bruce really stirred my heart with regard to my prayer life, our prayer life. And Bruce, that message really blessed me. And I know it blessed everyone else. And the Holy Spirit was certainly with you and in you when you were speaking. And I'm so delighted that I got to see that and be part of that. There's a friend of mine, Scott Yacko, who's been here a few times. Scott is about 66 years old, and I brought him as a guest a few times. His dad is 94, and his dad was married 60 years, 60-some years. He lost his wife about 4 years ago, and he's in the final months of cancer, and he's okay because he knows where he's going. And the other day we went out to breakfast, and Scott's brother Richard came up from North Carolina, and we're about to sit down at the table, and Ray, who's his dad, who's 94, you know, he's got $60 in his hand, and he's handing it to the waitress as we're sitting down. That we haven't even gotten menus yet, and Scott's brothers are there, and I'm the last one to sit down, and I said, Ray, you're going to live through the breakfast. You can pay at the end. You know what? Did anybody go see Tim Hawkins at Fox River a couple weekends ago? I was the only one?
My son did.
Your son did. Okay. He's a Christian comedian, or a comedian Christian, and he's a hoot, right? And one of the things that he said that I thought was really interesting, he says, I watch older people read the Bible. And he says, they all look like they're cramming for a final. I thought I'd share that with you. You know, I'm so grateful to God for this group and this group of men called Faith Walkers. And I got to tell you guys something, that I get more out of Faith Walkers than I get out of church on Sunday, because it's really a seeker-friendly message. And this, we kind of get in a little deeper. And I'm also grateful for the preparation time when you have to come up here. I spend way more hours with the Lord the week before it's my turn to stand here. And I just get to settle myself. And Bruce is nodding his head. Lowell's nodding his head. Greg, there, you know, those moments are just so precious. And that's really the main event of the main event. So I just wanted to say thank you. And I'm especially grateful to Sandy inviting me here. And each of you guys, you know, that I've gotten to know personally have really touched my life in a very meaningful way, and stretched me. And, you know, Richard, you know, I got a picture of Richard on a folder that sits on my table, and I got this book. If you don't have Randy's books, you let me tell you, and this is a plug for buying Randy's books, okay, because they're worth it, all right? I got Randy's books, and it's this is the way, walk in it, and I'm reminded by reading his books that of this is the way, walk in it. I love your books. In fact, I'm going to start buying some and just giving them away. Okay, they're. But you guys got to buy them first for yourself here. So let me, you know. And then I just wanted to say something. Mike Casey is like an encouragement shower waiting for a place to happen. His heart is so dripping with the Holy Spirit, and it's such a blessing to be at the same table with Mike Casey. It just touches my heart. And Sandy, I mean, here's a man whose daughter was taken from him. And yet he understands that somehow, some way, that was God's will. And that this side of heaven, he doesn't understand it, nor does his wife. And what a blow and what a wound, I can't imagine. But he still is steady and solid on God. And let me get going here. So the setting of our reading this morning, the setting is it's the last few days or few weeks of Jesus' ministry. It's his last visit to the temple. The cross is around the corner, okay? And let me just read it here. It's the Gospel of Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, if you want to follow along. And I know you folks probably know this by heart. And we've all been down the road, and I hope that I can bring a dimension this morning that touches your heart from God, because this week the Lord certainly settled my heart and touched my heart with this reading, and I'm delighted to share it with you. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It says, looking up, Jesus saw the rich people, and in the King James it said rich men, putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a poor widow putting in 2 mites, copper coins, and he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they gave out of their abundance, their surplus, but she contributed out of her lack and her want, putting all that she had on which to live. So, we don't know the name of this woman. We don't know if she had children. We know that she's poor. The other versions talk about her poverty. And there's also the word want. So this is all we really know about her. That there's not much more. So Jesus had a lot to say about rich men casting their gifts into the temple treasury, rich men who had a lot of money, and they didn't use their money, which God had given to them. And when you think about it, God has given us everything. The fact that we're here in America, the fact that we're English speaking, the breath in our lungs, it's all God. We're empty handed. It's all God's. And here's the challenge. Are we using God's blessing, God's gifts, the money in a way that glorifies God? Are we glorifying God with the gifts that he's given us? And that was the question that I was cascading over me this week as I was preparing for this. Are we glorifying God? And it's obvious here that, you know, the parable before is about the Pharisees and how they were rich men that used their money on themselves and they never cared about the poor or the brother in need or the orphan or the widow who is in need. And this application of 2,000 years ago is just as alive and meaningful today for us. So God gives us money and talents and abilities, and we shouldn't think of it as ours. It's his. It's his money. It's his breath. It's his time that he gives us on this earth. It's his life. It's his plan. It's his purpose. And that was rushing over me over and over as I was spending time in these 4 verses this week and praying about what is it that God wants me to talk about. So God's will, submitting to God's will, is surrender and prayer. And it comes from daily surrender and daily prayer and continuous surrender and continuous prayer, being with the Lord. And I love getting ready for this because I spend more time. See, look at that. I spend more time with the Lord before the week before getting up here than I do in other weeks. And I think the other speakers would say the same. And what a week I've had with the Lord. I'm just so delighted to have that time with him. And this really forces me to do that. And so Jesus looks up and in the first verse, it says looking up, or in the King James, it says he looked up and he saw rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. So he sees the rich people putting their money in the treasury, and he sees today not how much. I don't think this parable, for me, is about how much. But I think it's about how, with what heart, with what spirit, with what attitude, with what motive are we giving? And not just giving to our local church, but what are we giving to the people that are moment to moment, day to day, significant in our lives or nearby us in our lives, with what heart? So I shared with David last week, there was a YouTube video I came upon by the name of Paul Lynn. Does anybody know him, Paul Lynn? You're aware of him, Sandy's aware of him. So can I have that water that's there, Bo? The one with the purple top? Sure. David was going to give me Jack's water. That was really sweet of you, David. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm drying out up here. So the name was from atheist to Christian. So I thought this would be interesting. Let me hear this man's testimony. And to sum up his 45-minute testimony in about 4 minutes, he was born in North Korea. He came with his family to California, and then he settled in Philadelphia. And while he was in Philadelphia, he says, you know, like I wasn't in. You know, I was odd. I didn't know the language well. My clothes didn't match. I didn't have the cool clothes. And I wasn't one of the cool people. So, you know, he spent a lot of time, you know, by himself. And then baseball sort of got him connected, and then he became cool because he was a really good baseball player. And then he winds up at Yale. And he's at Yale, and he's studying to become an economics major. And he's a very scholarly sort of a young man. And he went away on Christmas break. And before Christmas break, his mom calls him and says, you know, and let me give you more of the backstory. His sister, Paul's sister, is in medical school. And she leaves medical school to marry a fellow that's on his way to be a pastor. And he meets with his sister and he says, you're ruining your life. What are you thinking? You're giving up medical school to go marry a pastor? And then his mother gets in contact with him and says, listen, for the family, and their family honor is very important, as we know, to people from Korea. For the family, would you please go to this retreat where your sister's husband-to-be is going to be the speaker and be there for the family, to represent the family? So he says, I could never say no to my mother. So I went to the retreat, and he said, the retreat was horrible. He said, every part of it was terrible. And he said, the last night, the worship band is playing. And he said, I heard these words. I don't want your money. I want your heart. And he said, it wasn't the speaker or the band that was speaking to me. It was the Most High God. And he said, that slayed me in that moment, where I knew that I knew that I heard from God. And he's just a blast to be part of. And that was a song, by the way, that was actually taken from the book of Samuel, and the lyrics were written by a fellow by the name of Keith Green. Did you listen to that, David? You did? Yeah, yeah. So if you want to make a note, Paul Lynn, L-I-M, you get on YouTube, From Christianity to Atheist, and he's got a lot of other that really touched my life. You know who else touches my life? Anybody else listen to Francis Chan? Francis Chan? Any hands? Okay. Anybody here, Francis? Just a few hands? Okay. Anybody paying attention? All right. Francis Chan, I encourage you to listen to him. It's like he just got off the phone with God and comes out and then speaks to whoever his audience is. You know, it's just amazing how his life has touched mine, and I just encourage that to you. So how many fellas here are widows, or were raised by a widow, or had a widow in their family? Just me and Greg and Mike? Okay. Yeah, so this kind of spoke to me, because my father died when I was just 4 years old. So let me keep on going here. So to understand, how does God look at our offerings in the offering box? And I want to say to you, I'm going to wrap it up here pretty soon, because you got four questions today, because there's only four verses, you know, so I can't make it last that long, and I just don't want to get up here and go on to take up time. So here's what I found very interesting, is that here's Jesus, the cross is around the corner, he's in the temple with his disciples, they're sitting there, and he focuses his vision, his gaze upon this woman that's giving two copper coins. What that tells me is that Jesus is interested in all the details of our lives, the little details he's interested in. And he looked at her and he said, she gave more than the rich men. So I found that very encouraging. And think about this, is that he looks at what she gave very different than how the church treasurer would look at what was put in the offering box. Okay. And Jesus said they gave out of their abundance, their surplus. It didn't really cost them anything. It was easy for them to give. There was no disruption in their comfortable lifestyles. They were unaware. you know, that they were basically unaware that it all belongs to God. So if it all belongs to God, what are we doing with it? That's the question that kept rushing over me this week. And everything we have is His. But this woman, out of her poverty, she gave it all. She gave everything. It's quite another spirit, quite another attitude that God sees, not how much we give, but how we give. And the widow was all in. You know, you hear that expression, being all in. The widow was completely, totally all in. She put all she had to live on. She put her life in that offering box. She put everything in. And that's what God is looking for from our hearts as believers, as men. Are we all in? And I was thinking this morning as I was preparing, and I'm saying, okay, God, I want your words for the men today. I want your words for these believers, these men of God, faith walkers. And what I got out of it was, the more I am, like from John the Baptist, I have to become less so God can become more. You know, let me tell you, I'm from New York, and my agenda matters, okay? Little do I know, my agenda is nothing. God's agenda is everything. And that I need to keep in perspective. And my friend Dan helps me with that. Thank you, Dan. So I want that in writing, okay? In the Old Testament, there was a law for the Israelites where they had to give one-tenth of everything they have. And in the New Testament, there is no such law. I mean, can you picture, like, here's the Pharisees, you know, with their robes. They're walking around their garden and they're counting their dill. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 for me, 1 for God. And they do, and they're out in the fresh air with the sunshine. They're doing this every day. And how, or their mint or whatever they're counting, and how is that different than us, where we have Fox News on in the stock market all day? I mean, how many people are guilty of that? Don't raise your hands, okay? So, and America's addicted to this. I used to listen. I worked in New York at Merrill Lynch, and I met a number of brokers that had millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars. And I would ask them, like, you're in the prime of your life. You're 50 or 60 years old. What's next? And you know what a lot of them would say? More. Just more. Yeah, but, you know, you're worth $50 million. What is more going to do? It's more. Yeah. So, like, in America, we're addicted to more, right? I want my addiction to be to the Most High God. And I know you guys are there. That's why we're here. We get up in the middle of the night on Saturday morning and clean off our cars or do whatever we got to do and get here to hear God's word and to share fellowship with one another. And this encouragement that we get from one another is really vital. Because the world beats us up. You know, you turn on the radio, you turn on the news, there ain't nothing. That's just taking a nick out of the how we're filled up. So let me keep on going here. So the Pharisees, we could pick on the Pharisees all day. I want to go to 2 Corinthians here, verse 7, because it says, right here, it says, each man according to the purpose in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly, out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So God loves a cheerful giver. Let every man give cheerfully. And then right before that it says, but I say, he that's sowing sparingly shall reap sparingly. And what I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Now I'm jumping back to verse 6. It says, but I say that he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Sparingly and bountifully. It is with the attitude of the heart that we give is most important. And I want to jump over to Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. Okay. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The only guy that was eulogized in the Bible by the Most High God is Moses. And it says twice at the end of Deuteronomy and the beginning of Joshua, Moses, my servant. Moses, my servant. So from now on, I'm going to remind myself and I'm going to remind you, when you're shaving and brushing your teeth and you're looking in the mirror, you are God's servant. You're also God's son, and you're also a man of God, and together we are men of God. I love this. I'm so glad I'm here. So that's the Old Testament, 1/10. But in the New Testament, it's 100% for God, right? It says, you know, present your bodies a living sacrifice. So what is that? Our bodies, our eyes, our hands, our thoughts, our tongue, our ears, our ambitions, our desires. 100% in for God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. All in, our desires, our ambitions, our motives are all God's. So, I know you guys have heard enough from me. I'm getting ready to close here. So it's important to judge ourselves in comparison to the widow and see where we stand. The Lord sees what we give and how we give. And God is calling us, like the widow, to be all in. And we're in an age of distraction. You know, when you, this, all these devices we have and things that beep and ring and buzz and vibrate that are saying, pick me, I'm over here, right? Where we need to pick our time with God. And I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. Thank you for this week where I got to settle my heart on the Most High. And I just want to encourage you all, each of you, to go all in. Thank you.